Daf is Daf Tes Zayin. I'm guessing you got five lines down, four lines down. Tevayu. Okay, excellent. We're on the same page. We didn't even discuss. Look at that. So the Gemara said the Gemara had been discussing machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish about whether or not Hasra Safek is Hasra. If you get Hasra, but you don't know if it's going to lead to anything, it's really like a shevi al tas. You're kind of just waiting for the time to run out. Is that considered Hasra? And number two is about Lav Shein Bo Maisa, whether you get malchus on that or not. So the Gemara explains the four lines down, the last word, Vertervayu, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, are both working within the opinion of the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda. The Tana, the Brisa, quotes the Pasuk, Lo so siru mimenu ad boker, don't leave it over until the morning, Vanos mimenu ad boker, and those who leave it over in the morning, so the Pasuk goes on to say, that Be'esh tisrofu, you should burn it. So Ba kasiv litein ase acher, lo sase. The Pasuk says there's a way to fix the lav by putting an ase after the lav, a lav anitek la'ase it's called, that the lav is fixed through an ase. So the halacha is lomar she'ein lokna lav divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't get a malchus on this because it's an ase that fixes the los ase. So the Gemara is going to learn now, but had it not been a lav anitek la'ase, had it just been a standing alone lav, Rabbi Yehuda says there would be malchus. So what's the case here? So Rabbi Yochanan daik hachi Taima. The Ba Kasiv, only because the Pasuk says, Halo Ba Kasiv, had the Pasuk not had an assay, had it been again a standalone lav, Loke, you would get Malkus, that Alma Hasra Safek Shema Hasra. How could you get Malkus here? The Pasuk says, no, sir. If you leave it over, you're going to get Malkus. So again, this is a non-action. There's no mice here, but yet we still see it's a Hasra. Even though it's Hasra Safek, we don't know what's going. If it's going to do, if it's going to lead to mice, rather, whether it's going to lead to no, sir, or not, just the time runs out. So you say, don't let it run out, don't let it be nosar. That is still considered hasra, and it would have resulted in malchus had not had the assay afterwards of esh tisrofu. So Rabbi Yochanan learns from here, hasra safek is considered a hasra. But Reish Lakish learns otherwise. Reish Lakish daik hachi, he learns differently. Taima debar kasev, only because the assay of esh tisrofu comes, so there's no lav. Ha lo bar kasev. Had the Pasuk not said burn it, had there not been an assay at all, again, it would have been a standalone lav, just don't leave it over, loke, there would have been malchus. How could there be malchus? Alma, lav, shein, v'maisa, lokan, lav. The case of nosar is a non-action. It's a lav, shein, v'maisa. So we see, a lav, shein, v'maisa is malchus. And the only reason why you don't get malchus in this particular example is because there's an assay of esh tisrofu afterwards to fix it. But had not been for that, there would have been a lav, shein, v'maisa. So in other words, really, in the case of Noser, if you just put away the assay of burning it, Noser has two things. One, it's a lav shein b'maisa, and it's also hasra safek. So the question, which one are we focusing on? Are we focusing on the fact that it's lav shein b'maisa? Are we focusing on that's hasra safek? So the Gemara is going to ask, why can't you learn both of them out? They're both true. But either way, they're learning different halachas from the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. So the Gemara then says, Rabbi Shimon Lakish Nami, Havade Hasra Safeku. So Reish Lakish would certainly agree that this case of Nosar is certainly Hasra Safek, and he himself would agree that would have resulted in Malkos had not been an assay there. It would have been Malkos. So isn't this Hasra Safek? So he should agree that Hasra Safek is called the Hasra. So the Gemara explains that Reish Lakish Savarlak Idach Tana de Yehuda. He holds like a different Rabbi Yehuda. This Rabbi Yehuda is the following, the Tanya, Hikazev, the Chazav Hikazev. You hit one, you hit the other. So we need a little background in Rashi for a second here. Rashi says around 10 narrow lines down, Hikazev Echule, Mi Shegirash Es Ishto, a person who divorced his wife, Vinises, and then she gets married right away, within a couple months, let's say. Vyaldin becomes pregnant and has a child, Safek Ben Tesla Rishon, Safek Ben Shivalachon, unclear who the father is. So now there's a suffix. So now this child grows up not knowing who his father is. It's one or the other one. So now he hits father A, hits father B. So we know if you hit your father, you hit your father, you get Misa. You curse your father, you get Misa. But now you're not sure which one is his father. So he does both. He first hits father A, then hits father B. He curses father A, then he curses father B. So that's a case of Hasra Safek. We don't know or not whether or not this is his father or not his father. So back to the Gemara now. The Tanya again. Hika Zeb, Chazav, Hika Zeb. You hit this one, then hit the other father. Then Kila Zeb, Chazav, Kila Zeb. You curse father A, then you curse father B, not knowing which is which. Or shteim b'bas achas, or you hit both them at the same time, or you, Rashi says, b'toch dibor. I mean, you could also, in theory, hit both them at the same time with your right and left hand. Rashi says that within one warning, you hit both them. So whatever, within a few, a couple seconds, you hit both them right after the hasra. Or kilel shteim b'bas achas, or you curse them both together, in all instances, according to the Tanakhama, you're chayiv. Because the Tanakhama holds, Hasra Safek, you're chayiv. But Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bivas Achas Chayiv, Bizeh Achar Zeh Pater. If you, the guy says, don't hit both guys, you're going to get your bichayiv, and he hits both at the same time, that's Hasra Vadai, because it led into one action. But let's say he says, don't hit either one, and you're not sure if he's going to hit Father A or Father B first, or curse Father A or Father B first, that Hasra Safek, and Rabbi Yehuda holds, Hasra Safek is Pater. So based on this price of Rabbi Yehuda, Reish Lakish holds like this Rabbi Yehuda, that Hasra Safek is actually going to be Pater, and he learns elsewhere that a Lav She'ein B'maisa, you would get Malchus. That's the understanding of Reish Lakish. Then Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, who learned above from the case of Nosar, had not been for the Asay of Be'esh Tisrofu, then there would have been Malchus in the case of Nosar. But why? Because he learned Hasra Safek, it's called Asra. But why does Rabbi Yochanan also learn the following principle? Rabbi Yochanan nami havadei lav shem b'maisa. Nosar is certainly a lav shem b'maisa, and it would have resulted in Malchus had not been for the words be'esh tisrofu. So we see lav shem b'maisa, you are loken alav. So the Gemara explains, hu savarla ki ha dam rav idi bar avin, amar rav amram, amar rav yitzchak, amar rav Yochanan, that what? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Mishum Rabbi Yosef Glili, the name Rabbi Yosef Glili, that Kol Lausa say Shabbat Torah, Lav Sheish Ba Maisa Lokna Lav. Every Lav, if there's a Lav, if there's a Maisa, you get Malchus. But Lav Sheish Ba Maisa, if it's a Lav without any action, Ain Lokna Lav, there is no Malchus. So this is the Rabbi Yehuda that Rabbi Yochanan holds of, that Lav Sheish Ba Maisa, Ain Lokna Lav. There are three exceptions here, Chutz, Mina Nishba, Umeimar, Umakalas Chaveru B'Shem. There are three exceptions that even though there is no Maisa, there would be Malchus swearing, making a Shvua, false Shvua, Temura, which is a statement, it's a Dibor, there is no Maisa, switching different Karbanos, the whole Sugi of Temura, Homasech the Temura, and then one who curses someone else, using Shem Hashem, that's also Lav Shema Maisa. Those are the only three exceptions that there's Malchus, even though there's no Maisa. But aside from those three, a Lav Shem B'Maisa, Ein Lokan Alav, and this is really the source of Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Fine. So the Gemara now says, Kasha Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, there's a stira in Rabbi Yehuda, because on one hand we said above that Rabbi Yehuda holds Hasra Safek is a Hasra. Then we said Hasra Safek is not called Hasra. So the Gemara answers, Il Reish Lakish Trei Tanai Ali with Rabbi Yehuda. Reish Lakish says, there are two understandings of what Rabbi Yehuda's Shita was. Okay, we have Machlokas, we don't know what his Shita was. And Il Rabbi Yochanan Lo Kasha Hadidei Hadirabe. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, this case of Nosar seemed to indicate that Lav Shema Maisa would have Malchus. But then the second statement of Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Yosef Aglili, says Lav Shema Maisa ain't Lokan Alav. So he ends up saying, one's Rabbi Yehuda himself, one's Rabbi Yosef Aglili. Rabbi Yehuda himself holds Lav Shema Maisa Lokan Alav. That's the case of Nosar. But the second presentation, where he quotes his Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Aglili is the one who holds Lav Shema Maisa ain't Lokan Alav. So even though Rabbi Yehuda quotes his Rebbe, he himself personally doesn't hold that way. So that ends the discussion of the Machlokas of Yochanan Reish Lakish about Lav Shema Maisa is one Machlokas, and Hasra Safek called Hasra, that's a second Machlokas between these two. This last piece, which is pretty much discussing where is the basis, where we find such a basis for these Shitas. Okay, the Gemara now says, Tanan Hasan, the very last narrow line of the page here, Hanot, so this omission that appears in Maseches Chulin, the last parak of Chulin talks about Shiloh HaKan. So the Mishnah says, Hanotel Eim al Habanim, person who takes the mother over the sons, she doesn't send away the mother first, so then she violates an Isser of Shalach to Shalach. You're supposed to send away the mother bird before taking the little chicks or taking the eggs. So one who does this, again, doesn't send away the mother bird first. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Loke Ve'ena Mishalech. You get Malchus for doing that, for violating that Lav, and you can't, sending it away is too late. You can't send away the mother bird at that point. It's already too late. What you've done is done. According to Chachamim, Omer Mishalech Ve'ena Loke. The Chachamim say, no, it's not a problem. You could still send away the mother bird, and then you could avoid receiving lashes. So that's the Machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim. And Chacham hold Zaklal. This is the principle called Mitzvah Lo Sase Shiyeshbo Kum Ase Ein Chayavim Aleha. This is the klal. Any lav that has an ase afterwards, in other words, a lav Hanitek Lase, a lav that can be fixed by an ase, will not result in Malkus. Fine. So the Gemara says, Amri Rabbi Yochanan, Ein lanu elazos the old acheris. We only have two examples. This one, Shluch HaKan, and case two is one other one. So what's the old acheris? So where's the other example? Again, Rabbi Yochanan thinks there's only two lav hanitek la says. That you have to understand here, it's really Rabbi Yochanan holds, if you look at Rashi here, there's decent sized Rashi here about the kimi velo kaim velo kaim vita velo bitl, that case. There are many other ones. If you hold kaim velo kaim, so there are many cases of halav hanitek la say. But we're only talking about the only two examples of a bit of a bitlu that you could really ruin the assay. Remember yesterday we said that if a person had the opportunity to be mekayim the assay and he doesn't, then he gets malchus for that. But let's say you hold bitlu velo bitlu, so then as long as you have the ability to continue to do the assay at some point down the line, then you're never going to get a lav. You're never going to get the malchus. Only if you're... Did we see this yesterday? This yesterday's lav, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then only if a person's mevatel the assay, he mamish like burns the possibility of ever doing the assay, it's mevatel it, only then will you be then liable on the lav, if there's never any way of fixing it. So Rabbi Yochanan holds bitlo velo bitlo. So if you hold bitlo velo bitlo, he thinks that there are only two examples where you could ever get rid of the possibility of the assay. So one example is the shlach hakein, which we'll see in a second. If let's say you shech the mother bird, you kill it, there's no way you can't send it away anymore. So there's one other example, there's an od acheres, another example where you can be mevatel assay and never be able to fix the lav. So the Gemara
says, Rashi told us yesterday, I don't know if it's the same case, Rashi said if you take moder hana,
the Gemara is going to go through that case, exactly, yeah. So what's this? So the first example is being mevatel the shlach hakein case, that's one example of you shech the mother bird, so there's no way of ever fixing that lav anymore. But what's the od acheres? So Amar Lei Rebbe Lazar, his Talmud, asked him, I'm not sure who he's asking, he asked Rebbe Yochanan, I guess, Heicha, where's the second case? Where's the Od Acheres? So like a good Rebbe, he says, Amar Lei Lechi Tishkach, go do research. I'm not going to be your Bar-Ilan thing. I'm not going to be your Google here. Go do some research and find it on your own. So Nafik Dak Veashkach, he did a little research and went through the Mishnahs, went through the Brises, and he finally found the Brises that taught us the Tanya, Ones Shegirash, if a person who had raped a woman, and the requirement is they have to stay married as long as she's willing to stay married to such a guy, this guy has to marry her. So now let's say Gira, she divorces this Anusa. He divorces this wife he's now forced to marry. Im Yisraelu, and the Pasuk says you're not allowed to. It says, Lo, what's the Pasuk exactly? Lo Sishlach, I think. Lo Yuchal Lishlach Chol Yomav, you can't send their way ever. So there's a law there. But who machzer? If it's a Yisrael, you can remarry the grusha. Even though you divorced her, a Jew is always allowed to marry the divorcee if it's not a kohen. So you can remarry her, and you can always fix the lav of not sending her away. But ve'en lokei at loki, you don't get malchus for this. Vimu kohen who, a kohen who gets divorced, we know a kohen can't marry a grusha. He can't even marry his own grusha. So if it's the kohen who divorces this anus of his, that again, he raped a girl, was forced to marry her, and then he divorced her, so then he can never fix that lav anymore. Huloka veinomachser. So then he's not allowed to ever remarry her. So and he gets malchus for this. So the Gemara says, Hanich leman damer detani kaima v'lo kaima. If you understand, when do you get a lav? If you don't mekaim the asay, even though you can in theory later on, but if you miss the opportunity to do it right away, so then you get it. You get malchus right away. This all makes sense. Kaimu v'lo kaima. Elman detani bitlu v'lo bitlu. If you assume that the only time you get the lav is if you're mevatel entirely, the possibility of ever fulfilling the assay, so how come shlach hakein and the case of onis shegirish, how does this work out? Bishma, it makes sense, gavi shiluach hakein mishkachas la, as Rashi points out, if you shech the mother bird, so then you're mevatel the possibility of ever shalach to shalach of sending away the mother bird, so that would be a case you get malchus for this. The Ella, the question becomes, Ones bitlu v'lo bitlu heicha mishkachasa. What about the case of being mevatel? If you assume that mevatel, and now you're applying it to the case of Ones, so how does that exactly work? When it comes to the case of Ones, Yisrael, she Ones, he's always allowed to remarry her. So the Gemara says, not true. Heicha mishkachasa, dekotla. Let's say he kills her. Let's say he kills his wife, the Anusa, so then you can never remarry her anymore. So that would be a case where Mevatel, and then the Yisrael would get a lav, and we get Malchus for this. So the Gemara says, well, that doesn't work out, because come with the Rabbi Minei, because then if he kills her, so then he's going to be liable himself, and he wouldn't be Chayiv Malchus for that. he would be chayiv v'misar. So that can't be the case, where he got up and killed her, where she's no longer alive. Now, Tosfos points out before we find a better case here, Tosfos in the very top says, let's say in Mesa, let's say she dies on her own. So a person divorced his grusha, he's an anusa, he married the anusa, divorced the anusa, we don't give him malchus because he could always remarry her. So let's say she dies, so now he can't marry her anymore. So that would be another example where
she
gets
remarried on her own.
Oh, so the Gemara talks about the Gemara is going to get there also. The Gemara is going to talk about that case, the very next suggestion. So before even that case of her marrying someone else, so the Gemara says, so let's say she dies, Tosfos asks, so that also he can't marry her anymore. So maybe that should also be a situation where he should get malchus, so he can't remarry her. So Tosfos says, im kein lo bala ihu. Mevatel is only if he himself is mevatel. If it's mevatel on its own, that's not going to work. So she dies. She died in her own natural causes. So then the Gemara says, Vim Tomar, this gets a little tricky, but we'll read it anyways. Im Tomar, Tosfos asks, Duma Mari de Katla, maybe it's a case where he killed her. He was Mevatel. Umikomakom lo have kamle bidirabi minay, de Mari Shehorig Bishogi, he killed her accidentally, in which case it wouldn't be kamle bidirabi minay because he wouldn't be getting Misa. Now that gets into a whole other discussion because you say Shogin do, even though there's no Misa, we still do apply Kimle bidirabi minay according to, I think, Tanya Bechizkiah. So again, that's a whole other discussion. I'm just kind of throwing out for food for thought here for you. V.A. Shlomer, he says, maybe the imkain hainu kimo mesa me'alea came into harga shlomer miskavim. So this is a fascinating point. If one kills a person accidentally, it's as if she died on her own. If you're not responsible for killing her, that's the same as mesa me'alea, and that's not called being mevatel. You weren't mevatel. It was more accidental, incidental, and therefore you're not responsible. Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a kasha here. He says maybe it's a case if she's a trefa. If she's a trefa, look at Gilead and Ashas on the side here. She's a trefa, so you haven't killed anyone. If you are the anus is a trefa, so then one went ahead and killed her. So if a person kills a trefa, a guy who's on the respirator, and you pull the plug, let's say, assuming that's a trefa, so then that's not called killing, really, even though it's not allowed. I'm not encouraging that, obviously. But even though that's not allowed, that's not called dying because the person's already dead. He's ready to trefa. He's not going to live for more than 12 months. So that would be a case.
But
so you kill.
Has he already mevatel before that, no?
Yes. Well, you could marry them. They could, if a person, let's say, has very, you know, has 1 week left to live, the doctors say. And, but they're still walking around. They're capable of doing. So you could still marry them. So that would be a case that if you kill them, you're killing a trefa. It's not considered killing because they're already bar katal. They're already considered killed. So why wasn't that a suggestion? So then there's a lot of achronim to talk about what the different scenarios are. Okay, let's go back to Gemara now says, so what's a case, again, where the husband is mevatel, the ability to ever remarry her? So it says, Amar Rav Simi Michozna, kigon shekibel ala kedusha me'acher, that he accepted kedushin from someone else. So now she's married. Now remember, the husband has to be the one to be mevatel it for it to be considered him getting malchus. So now the question now becomes, Amar Rav, Ishav Yisa Shliach Ihi Kamevatalei. If she appointed Shliach for herself to get married, so that was her Mevatalei. And he's not responsible. He shouldn't get Malkus because she made a decision to marry someone else. But Ilo Shav Yisliach Shliach, if she didn't make the Shliach, rather he did. So then, Kol Kamine Velo Klum. Imagine the guy divorced her. Now he says, you know what? I actually got you a husband. I married him. So obviously he has no right to marry her off. So that can't be the case where she accepted from someone else. Ella Amar Simi, what's the case? Minaharda kigon shehidira b'rabin, where he took a nether in public that he's not going to ever marry her. So now once he took a nether, he can't go back on the nether anymore. So he was mevatel the ability ever to remarry her, and that's why he would get malchus. So the Gemara says even in this case, hanich l'man damar only makes sense. Nether shuda b'rabin ain lo hafara. If you assume that a nether made in public doesn't have the ability of canceling it out. Elman Damar, there is an opinion that holds Yesh Lafara, Michael Memar, that even though it was said in the Rabbim in public, you still can be Mefer, so he's not stuck. He just goes to a rabbi, goes to three Dayanim, and Mefer the Nether. So he's not stuck. He can still marry her. It must be Dimadirla al Das Rabbim, where he took a Nether on the Das Rabbim, and now there's no way of ever undoing this. Damar Amemar Hilchasa Nether Shehuda Birabim, a Nether taken in public. Yesh lafara, you could undo it. But al das rabbin, on the consent of the rabbin, ain lafara, because you can never get the consent of the entire public. So how are you ever going to round up the billions of people in the world to agree to your hafara? In that case, you are stuck forever. Okay.
What's his shuhud? Anyway, that's the same question.
No, I don't understand. What's he making a shvu on that she's not?
That he'll never marry her. Right. Making another, I can never marry her.
He can't have her. No, because she's what? Because.
No, because. And there is a machlok, because Rashi tells us whether or not you need a reason to do this. Uh-huh. Rashi says he found some level of an avera here. And otherwise, you can't make a nether to your wife.
Damn.
But it's not a wife anymore. They're not married. So I'm not really sure what's going on. Rashi Tosos here. Mm-hmm. So
what's the concept of Adas Rabbim? What does that mean?
That means that I'm making a nether with the consent of all Rabbim. All Rabbim are okay with this. Which really it means if I want to undo the nether, I need the agreement of everyone to undo the nether, which of course is impossible to do.
It's not that everybody else is also Asur.
No, that he can't do. He has no right to do that.
Cannot,
exactly.
Right.
Okay. Just that this is a nether that's Asur to me, unless I've got the agreement of everyone else to undo the nether, which is, again, impossible. That's why he's stuck forever. Okay. We're all good with that? Excellent.
You can't undo the nether?
If it's made al das rabim, with I need the consent of the entire tzibor, that you can never undo.
You can't go back to the
So, because how are you going to get everyone's agreement? In theory, if you have every single person in the world, let's say, sign a petition, so maybe that would work.
No, those same people.
I think Al-Das Rabbim might mean like the entire world, not like the tzibur that's in front of you. Al-Das Rabbim means everyone in the world, every Jew in the world, which is impossible to get their das on.
So how do you even get it in the first place?
How do you make the nether in the first place? That's a good question. So it must be the making the nether. Why does making the nether work? It must be understood as making the nether, you're stuck until you have their consent, maybe. Let's see. Not sure why it would be chal if it can't be undone. I don't know. Fine, the Gemara now says, last five lines of the page here, are there no other examples of this? Of a lavanitek lase, where you can be vato the ase? V'ha'ika, and the simon is gezel mashkan upeya. Gezel, t'rachmana amar lo sigzel, you can't steal, obviously. V'heshiv esagzela, and if you do, you have to return it. And mashkan, t'rachmana amar lo savel beso lavot avoto. Mashkan, you take a collateral, and you shouldn't go to the person's house to take it from their house. If it's a poor person, hashev tashiv lo, you should return it to them. Havot kavah shemesh, return the clothing in the morning. This way, they have what to wear during the daytime. So this mishkachas la b'kaimo v'l'kaimo u'bitlu v'bitlu. You could find this case both in if a person's not makayim the din, if they don't return it the next morning, so that's a violation of kaimo v'l'kaimo because then you didn't fix it, and you're also bitlu v'l'bitlu. You could also be mevatel it if you burn it. So let's say you steal someone's object. So now v'heishiv is like zayla, return it. Let's say I put it on fire. So now I'm mevatel that a possibility. So shouldn't I be receiving malchus for being mevatel b'gzela? Or I take the mashkon, I burn the mashkon, so I can't return it. So isn't that also being mevatel? So shouldn't I get malchus on that case? So the Gemara says, no, hasam, kevin dechayiv v'tashlumim eino lok mishalim. There, since the Torah requires you, if you don't have the gzela anymore, you have to return, you have to pay for it. So there's a klal, ein lok mishalim. You don't get two punishments similar to kimei b'drabi b'nei. The Torah says you get tashlumim, you pay tashlumim, and you don't get malchus. So that's an exception that we have. So the Gemara says, but there's a case where there's no tashlumim. So let's say maskevla Rebbe Zera ha'ika mashkona shel ger umeis hager. Let's say you've stolen the mashkon of a ger, and then you burn it. So really, you owe money to the mashkon now, to the ger rather. But let's say the ger dies before you pay it back. And the ger is a situation where he has no children. He was never married, has no relatives because he's a ger. So now you can't return money. There's no one to return money to anymore. So since there is no mashalim, so shouldn't you be getting malchus in this case? So if you, again, if you're mevatel, if you burn the mashkon of a ger shemes, that would be another instance where you would get malchus on a lava nitek la'asei when you're mevatel la'asei. So the Gemara says no. This case is entirely different. Hasan, by the case of the ger shemes, he's a gavra bar tashlumim. The guy has to pay. I really have to pay the ger, but just for technicality, vishibuda the ger hu de kapaka. Now, he has a lien on my property to pay money. Now, because the ger died, that removed any lien he had on my property, and that's why there's no payment, but there wouldn't be a case of malchus. Malchus would never be relevant. As opposed to the situation of shulach ha-kein and ones shegiresh, those cases are really situations of malchus. But this case of the ger shemes would never result in a case of malchus. Okay.
Here,
here it explains that it seems from Havad the Kevin Deshlum in a local that he can pay back. He says that it seems from the Gemara that it's from the Rav, but it's not really. It's really that he still can replace a chiyuv of the item by money. So it's not. So what the chiyuv is?
Yeah, there's a tosis here. It was a little confusing, but you're right. Yeah, exactly. That's always the question when it comes to tashlumim of these cases. Is that really a payment of tashlumim? Is it a new payment or is it replacing? Fine. The Gemara now says two lines down. V'ha'ika. So there's another example we found, the case of Peya. The halacha, a person has a farm and he has to leave over the corner of the field to give to the ani. So the Rachmana Amar lo sichala peyas sadcha. A person should not leave, get rid of all the corners, meaning leave the corners. If you don't leave the corners, you violate lo sichala. You violate the issur of cutting the corners. So the pasuk says, "Lani la ger tazov osam." You should leave it for the ger and for the ani to take. So that's tazov. So lo sechal is the lav, and tazov is the asay. So to lav, hanitik lasay. Meaning, if you cut it off, you could still put it back and leave it. How? The mishkachas lav a kaimo v'lekaimo bitlo v'lebitlo. This too can be found in situations if a guy never puts back the wheat. He cut down the wheat. You're allowed to return it back to the corner and leave it for him. So if you don't return it back, you violate of kaimo v'lekaimo. You could also get rid of it bitlu v'lo bitlu. If a person, let's say Rashi gives an example of where you grind it up into flour, that's you being mevatel, returning the wheat, so that would also be mevatel. So if you're mevatel, the possibility of ta'azov, so then you should get malchus and lo sechala pe'asoncha. So this should be another example of a lava nitik la'asei. If you're mevatel the asei, you would get malchus. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah explaining this. Mishnah Maseches Peah, the Tnan, that in mitzvahs Peah, Lahafish minakama. The halacha is you're supposed to leave it over while it's still in the stalks, while it's still connected to the ground. Lahifish minakama. Let's say you didn't leave it aside when it was cut, when it was still in the stalks. You first cut it down and you started to make bundles. So then you could still mafish minakomrim. You could take some of the bundles and leave it over as peah, even though you cut it down already. Lahifish minakomrim. Let's say you didn't separate peah from when they were in bundles. Now you've already made them into piles. You have a whole heap of bundles. So mafish minakri, you could then take from the mound of wheat and put it off to the side as well. So then loyfish mina achilo meirach, until you've spread out. When they used to make these piles afterwards, they make it nice and neat and smooth in the top. So if you haven't done that, you're allowed to take it. Mirchu, let's say you've smoothed it out. So then the halacha is maaser v'nosin lo. Then you have to, at that point, once there's meiruach, that's when the chiyah maaser kicks in. Right, you're allowed to eat, when it comes to fruit, it's all tevel. But you're allowed to eat achilas arai. You can take snacks along the way until meruach. But once meruach happens, now that's a chi of tevel, you're not allowed to eat anything until you've taken meiser. So now all the food's chayv in meiser, in iser tevel. So at that point, you have to now first separate meiser to give to truma, to kohen, meiser rishon to levi. Then from whatever's remaining, nosin lo, you take some of the remaining chulin and give it for the peah. That's like the Rabbi Yishmael, Damar af mafresh min isa. He takes it a step further. If you made it into dough even, you've kneaded it into dough, even at that stage, you're still allowed to fix it, tazov osam. You can still fix it and take peah. So,
is that the answer, Kedir Rabbi Yishmael?
Oh, so wait a second.
Yeah,
I'm doing
it.
So Gemara said, Kedir Rabbi Yishmael, Damar af mafresh min isa. So he says, even him, there's, even though you've ground it into flour, he holds that you're still allowed to separate the peah, even if it's a dough. So there never is a way of being mevatel, because there's always a way to fix it. No matter how late in the game it is, you could still be mafrish the peah.
So it's implying that the Tanakhama holds, once it's in Issa, you wouldn't be able to do that.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
The Rabbi Shmuel is if a gazlan is kind of a shinoi or not, that's based on that.
Uh-huh.
The block is between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Shmuel.
It sounds like we paskin based on the Ein Mishra, like this Rabbi Shmuel, that you are still allowed to take it when it's been Issa.
That a gazlan who makes a shino is not
going to okay. Fine. So then the Gemara says, even according to Rabbi Yishmael, Nami Mishkachasla, you could still find Mevatel. The Achal Issa, let's say the dough is eaten, so now obviously it's too late to separate anymore. So if it was eaten, you can't be mafreshit. So now, since Tazav Osam isn't a possibility, you should fall back on Lo Tzachala Peas Sadcha, and then there should be Malkos. So this should be a third example of getting Malkos in a Lavani Teklase. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elazos Odacheres Aha. Really, Zos V'Odacheres, Zos is Shlucha Kain. Odacheres is really this case of Peah that we just said, that if you ate the Isa, you can't fix it, you get Malkos. So what about the case above, about ones lo? The case of ones, where the person had divorced her, and then took a nether never to marry her, al das rabim, he's never allowed to marry her anymore, isn't that also mevatel? And that should result in malkos? No. That case, he actually, even though he's madir al das rabim, hech amrinan al das rabim ein lo hafara, l'dar rishus. When do we say when a person makes a nether, al das rabim, he can never be made for it? That's only if he wants to be made for it for davar rishus, for some voluntary thing. Aval advar mitzvah yesh lafara. But to fulfill a mitzvah, and Rashi says the mitzvah here is kigon hacha dechol yama ba'amud v'hichzir kai yesh lafara. He wants to fulfill the mitzvah of remarrying this anusa. So for mitzvah purposes, you are allowed to actually be made for a nether, even though it's al das rabim. There's once a Rebbe who taught kids how to learn, how to read. Have a Pasha Bianuka. He was Pasha. He hit a kid. The kid wasn't paying attention. He hit him. Yosem Midaira. She says he hit him too much. It was too much for the Rebbe. Adre Rav Acha. And he took a nether not to learn anymore. He didn't want to learn anymore. Vahadre Ravina. Ravina. So Rav Acha made him take a nether never to teach children. This kid should not be teaching children. He's abusive. But Ahadre Ravina. Ravina. Undone it, he had made for it. Why? Very controversial Gemara here. But since Rebbe was so good, he'll hopefully overcome his anger management. But since he's so good, there's no one who's like him. He's the best teacher. We're allowing him to teach. So not getting to that whole controversy whether or not a Rebbe is so good, but he has other problems, we should let him be a Rebbe or not. But the situation here is that if there's a davar mitzvah, you could undo the nether, even though it's al das rabim. So here too as well, that even though it's al das rabim, he said he's never going to remarry this anusa, we could undo it to let him marry her. And it would never result in a case of malkos, by the case of ones. Okay, we're good? Everyone's okay with that, Gemara? Fine.
So le maskana, there's only those two cases? Or what?
According to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds bitlu, these are the only two cases that Gemara comes up with. There are other cases, the Achronim talk about other possibilities, but they all get rejected of other options. But these are the only two.
And just one last question. If on the case of Shiloh HaKan, does he have to return the birds and then send the mother?
I think so, yeah.
He has to put them back on the thing? Because I see that in Eretz Yisrael, they do it very often. That they
take two?
They stand up, they put back the eggs, and then they put them back.
Yeah.
And
no, the reason for that is because you have to be, to let the next guy do it. You have to put the eggs back.
Right.
Poor mother bird,
every time
you
do
it.
Confused, yeah. My kids do it because they have one by the window, they keep on doing it every day.
Yeah.
They get other people to
try it. It's a big mitzvah.
But here you would have to put the birds back and then send them.
I think so, because sending the mother bird away when the children ready, you took the eggs,
right,
doesn't make any sense.
The whole thing doesn't make sense.
Okay, fine. Mara says halfway down the page. These are other examples of where one gets malchus. Amar of Yehuda, hai man da achla binisa, debay karva. Person who eats a certain bug that's found in this vegetable, so he gets what's halacha malkin lay. He gets malchus. Mishum sheret hasheret al haaretz. So one of the psukim say one of these creepy crawlers that if you eat it, one gets a lav. The pasuk goes on to say lo. Where's the pasuk? One lo yeachel. You can't eat it. Fine. So one who eats it, you get malchus. Ha'ud achel binasa debe karva v'nagde Rav Yehuda. One who once ate such a worm, Rav Yehuda actually gave him malchus. Fine. Amar Abai says achel potisa. If you eat a potisa, which Rashi says is you swallowed a sheretz that's found in the water. So then, loka arba, you get four sets of lashes, and the reason Rashi goes on to explain, because you get two lavin that's written by sheretz amayim, and there's another two lavin that's mentioned by stam sheretz. It's a more general lav of eating any sheretz, that's two sets, and then particularly a sheretz mayim, that's another two. So that's a total of four sets. Amar abai, nimla now, loka, we get lashes for this, a type of what, ant. Chamesh, you get five sets. Mishum sheretz hasheretz al aretz, because Rashi goes on to explain the five different sources. The fifth one here is going to be that you swallowed it whole, and two for stam sheretz, and three for a sheretz hasheretz al haaretz. That's five now. That's an ant that crawls on the ground. And now it's sira. I think it's like a hornet, right? So loka shesh, you get six. Because you add the five we had before, plus Mishim Sherita, oh, for this one also flies, so that's a total of six sets of lashes. So that's why, I think it's a hornet. No, that's what I say, a hornet? Yeah, hornet. So,
it's all at one time, the six?
Yeah, when a person just eats one bug, that's how why it's very serious, eating bugs.
It's obviously
bemazin,
right?
It's bemazin, yeah, exactly, bemazin. But you see, even Bishogeg, we see there's a lot of malchus. So even when a person doesn't check, you know, lettuce and whatnot, and it might be considered Shogeg, or I'm not sure it's major, no one ever warned him, but it's a serious thing when a person eats bugs, if he doesn't check it properly. Fine. The Gemara says now further, Amar Rav Achai HaMishayas HaNekevav over Mishum, a person holds back from going to the bathroom, he violates the Tishaksu, he holds back this part of the Isser as well, of keeping anything disgusting in the body, that's a violation of a Sheket, something that's gross and disgusting. There's a Machlokas Yishom, whether that's an Isser Deraisa or an Isser Medirabanan. So Amar Bibi Bar Abaye Hai Mandis Shasei Bekarna Du'umna, one who drinks out of the glass used to take blood from the blood letters, that same, let's say you ate from a needle, let's say, you drank from a needle that someone drew blood with, ka'avar mishim lo tishaksu, that's also violating disgusting. Using something that, like drinking from a toilet bowl, let's say, would be a violation of tishaksu. Using anything disgusting would be this violation. There is an interesting tshuva Rav Moshe, I doubt it's done nowadays, but they used to soak liver in blood to give it a nice color to it, and then they rinse it afterwards. So he speaks about the various problems of doing so, but one of the problems is Baal Tishaksu, of soaking in blood is just something that's disgusting, and that's one of the problems in theory of soaking with blood. Another issue he has of Gnevas Das, you make it look much richer and nicer than what it really is. But okay, more advertising, exactly. Amar Rava bar Rav Huna, Risik Tisha Nimalim, let's say you pulverize 9 ants, Behevi Echad Chai, then you bring one that's alive, the Hishum of Kazayas, and now that live one brings it to a total of a Kazayas. Now you've got a Kazayas of an olive size of ants, 9 dead and 1 alive one. So then one gets Loka Shesh. You get 6 sets of lashes here. Chamisha Mishim Birya, 5 for a Birya. You just ate the live one that was still whole. V'echar Mishim Kazayas Nevela. Now the other ones are dead. You ate a Kazayas of Nevela. Fine. So Rav Amar, Rav Yochanan, Afilu Shnayim Vahu. You could have the same thing with 2 dead ants and 1 live ant. You could accomplish the same thing of they could amount to a kazayas. So what's the difference 9 versus 2? So Rav Yosef Amar Afilu Echad Vahu. He thinks even 1 dead one, 1 alive one. Below Pliga, there's a machlokas habu rabrave habu zutri. All depends on big ants versus small ants. There's some very small ants, there's some very big ants. All depends on size. There really is not a machlokas here. But what you see from all this though, that you could have a number of different averos for eating bugs and the like.
And the fat rush to the fact that when you're eating it, it's dying, so that's why it's mitzarif.
Yeah, there's a Rabbi Kiveger on this point as well, but yeah, he said when you're bolei it, a mace, mitzarif la kazayis nevela.
As it's alive, it wouldn't be mitzarif, the alive and the dead ones wouldn't be mitzarif in order to get the kazayis.
It wouldn't be nevela yet, exactly. To be nevela, it has to be dead. So it says, when you're swallowing it, so as you're swallowing it, he's pointing out here, so it has to be alive for you to get the violations of eating a sheretz. A dead sheretz does not have the same isurim here. So you swallow it, it's alive, so then how does it ever be mashlim the nevela if it's alive, if it's not dead? So it dies as you're swallowing it. So it's kind of working both. It's serving on the alive part, but it's also serving as a dead part. How that worked out exactly in timing is unclear from Rashi, but there is a Rebbe Kivegi here, which points to a couple other Rashis to look at.
At what point is considered like the
needle? Yeah. So swallowing it, when does it die for it to be considered part of the nevela? He doesn't address it, meaning in my mouth, you only get it if it's alive when you swallow it. That means when I swallowed it, if it was alive, it wasn't dead. So if it's not dead, then how could it mash him to the nevela? That's what he's trying to explain. It doesn't
one
really.
Or the other, almost.
Yeah, so he's not really explaining. Just say, he's pointing out there seems to be a difficulty, but there must be a pshat here. When you swallow it, so during the maisa be'ila, then that's when it dies. So it's both a chai and mace at the same time. That's what he's trying to deal with. But it obviously requires some more explanation.
Definitely a trefa.
So the Gemara says, Achal tevel ma'aser rishon. A person eats tevel and ma'aser rishon, all these different cases. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav, Achal tevel shel ma'aser ani loka. Let's say a person had eaten tevel ma'aser ani, which means what? You had a pile of grapes. And you gave truma to the kohen, and you gave ma'aser rishon to the levi. Now it's a year of ma'aser ani. So you didn't take the Maiser Ani, but you as the farmer ate it. So even Tevel Maiser Ani, one would get Malkus for this. How do we know this? Where's our source? Kiman. Ki hai Tana, the Tanya Amir Rabbi Yossi, Yachal lo yechayv ela al Tevel shelo hura mimenu kol ikr. So I would think, only time you get Malkus, you're only chayv on if you have 8 Tevel that nothing was separated from. But let's say hura mimenu chumagdolo. Let's say you gave the chumagdolo, which is the 150th going to the Kohen. But lo hura mimenu maaser rishon, but you haven't separated maaser rishon yet to the Levi. Or let's say Ma'aser Rishon v'lo Ma'aser Sheni. Let's say you separated Ma'aser Rishon, but you haven't yet separated Ma'aser Sheni to be taken to Yerushalayim. Or let's say Vafilu Ma'aser Ani Minayin. Ma'aser Ani is the alternate years of Ma'aser Sheni. They happen in the years 3 and 6. So Ma'aser Sheni is 3 and 6. The other years are Ma'aser Ani. So how do you know if you separated everything except for Ma'aser Ani? So Tama Lomar, lo suchal lechel b'sharecho. You cannot eat it in your gates. So what does this mean? U'lahalan hu omer. Elsewhere it says Va'achlu b'sharecho v'saveyu. It says Achlu Sherecha B'Saveh is referring to Ma'aser Ani. So we now have a Gezer Shava of Lo Suchal Lechal B'Sharecha is really referring to Ma'aser Ani as well. You can't eat it if you haven't separated Ma'aser Ani. Malahala Ma'aser Ani, Avkan Ma'aser Ani, Ve'Amar Rachmana Lo Suchal. You can't eat it if you haven't yet separated Ma'aser Ani. So this is the source that one who eats Tevel, a Ma'aser Ani, one would get Malchus. So let's just read a little further. How are we doing in time? We're doing good, I think. Should we go a little bit further to two dots or try to get it quickly? I'm not sure if we're going to get it, actually. Let's try. Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef Ketanai, this is really Machlokas Tanaim, whether or not Ma'aser Ani results in a Malkos is a Machlokas Tanaim, really. So what's a Machlokas? Ketanai. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ein Tzarech Likros Es Hashem Al Ma'aser Ani Shel Demai. Demai is fruit you bought from the farmers. Really, the farmer has the obligation to separate everything. Now, you buy it from the farmers, so you're not sure whether or not he separated it or not. So Rabbi Eliezer says, we say, Chuma Gedola, the Gemara says, we assume he did separate it. Chuma Gedola is very serious. In the eyes of the farmer, he separated it. What about Ma'aser Ani? So he says, you don't have to separate Ma'aser Ani of Demai, and we'll see why that is in just a second. But Chachamim Omer Chacham Hold, Kari Es Hashem Vein Tzarech L'Hafrish. You have to be call it Ma'aser Ani, but you don't have to give it away. So what's going on here? So the Gemara says, "My lav b'ha kimifugi." Are they not arguing about this point that mar savar vaday tovlo u'mar savar vaday eino tovlo? One holds is tevel ma'aser ani something that you require to separate in general or not. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, he holds. Let's look at Rashi. Should we do Rashi in the bottom? Let's look at Rashi in top here. Yudzaim karav ein tzarech lahafrish. Once you've called a ma'aser ani, now the remaining fruit is no longer tevel, you're allowed to eat it. We don't need to do that, Rashi, forget it. So what's the pshat here again? So it comes to the Tana Kama, they hold that it was vaday tovel in general. Ma'aser ani requires, it is tevel if you don't separate it. And that's why here in this case, they require you to separate it. That's like Rabbi Yossi before, who says if one doesn't separate it, he gets Malkos. So that's a Rabbi Chacham here require you to separate it, Kare Shem. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says you don't have to call it Shem, you don't have to separate Ma'aser Ani, he assumes that there is no Tevel for Ma'aser Ani, and you wouldn't get Malkos for eating something that didn't have Ma'aser Ani separated from it. That's the initial understanding of this Machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Chachamim, whether or not, again, there's such a thing as Tevel for Ma'aser Ani or not. So the Gemara says, Amr le'bai, bai says, Ihachi, that's really the case. That they're arguing about whether there's vaday tevel on Ma'aser Ani in general. So, ademiflagi besfeka, liflagu bevaday. Why do they give a case of demai? Demai is a case of a suffix. We don't know. So just talk about a very much clearer case of, in general, is there a requirement to take Ma'aser Ani if without taking it will be tevel or will not be tevel? From the fact that they don't talk about that case, sounds like they're not arguing about tevel vaday. And Ella, Chulyama, Vaday, Tovlo, everyone agrees. Vaday, if it's a Vaday case, that you didn't separate Ma'aser Ani, it's Vaday Tevel. It definitely is Ma'aser Ani, and it will result in Malkus if you eat it. V'hacha, v'hacha mifugi. So what's Machlokus by the case of Demai? Mar Savar, lo nechshetu ame aretz a Ma'aser Ani shel Demai, came into Mamonahu, Afrusha, Mafrish, that the ame aretz are not. We assume that they do separate it. Since they get to keep it in the end of the day, they could separate Ma'aser Ani but eat it for themselves. So then we assume that they did it. It was an easy thing for them to do. And therefore, if you buy from them, you don't have to call out Ma'aser Ani. Rabban and Savri, they hold no. We don't trust that the Am Ha'aretz, that the farmers are separating Ma'aser Ani. Because the farmers say to themselves, Kevin the Trichla Mils, it's annoying for me to separate Ma'aser Ani, I'm not going to do it, lo mafrish, and therefore when you buy demai from the farmers, you have to be koreshem on your own, because it's very likely that they themselves didn't separate Ma'aser Ani because of the Tircha.
Okay.